Wilson was mentored by Mike and is carrying on as Mike would have wanted. Every Sunday at 9, sharing her real estate knowledge, tips on buying and selling your home, information on the loans to look for, and the ones to avoid. Throughout the Real Estate Hour, call in and ask your questions direct to Allison and her guest experts. And now, her glass is always half full. Here's Allison Norman.
Good morning. Oh my gosh, I looked up and my microphone wasn't there. There was a really tall person here because
they were standing up.
But the chair was really high too. I had to lower the chair, and then I didn't notice the microphone. So sorry, technical difficulties here. Good morning, everyone. This is Allison Norman, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. You can tune in and hear us live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. here at KSRO Sonoma County's FM News Talk, which is on 103.5 FM, 94.5 FM, 1350 AM, and then always streaming live as well at KSRO.com. And then you can look for us at the podcast, which you go to KSRO.com, go to shows. There's a drop-down menu. Look for Ask the Expert, and then you'll see Allison Norman / Real Estate. That is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour. That's all the podcasts, past shows with Mike, with me and Mike when we did it, the show together, and then beginning this year with just me. So lots of shows you can tune in and listen to if you missed some information, you want a recap on things, or just want to hear some of the old shows, go to that, the podcast, KSRO.com. And then I always post things after the show as quickly as I can on the Facebook page, which is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman, and that you can find on Facebook. So glad to have you here today. Happy Sunday, I think. I don't know, maybe it's going to be a little cooler today. It's foggy today. And it was actually kind of got chilly last night here in Santa Rosa anyway. So that's always, when the fog rolls in, we're always pretty happy to see that. Our natural air conditioning we have, and why I love living in Sonoma County. And we don't have so often this really hot. I do enjoy the warm evenings when we have a hot day. But other than that, it's been just too hot for me. It makes it hard to work, and I've had a lot of work to do, so it's kind of difficult. Because it's such a drain.
Just think of the kids that had to go back to school.
Oh, I know.
Had to be horrible.
I know, and I remember that when I was a kid, and when my kids were in school too. Is that if we always got that real? Because I grew up in Marin County, so very similar climate, right down the freeway. But it was the same, we'd have some fog in the morning. But in September is when we used to, remember when we used to go back to school in September and not the middle of August? But it was always so hot, that what we call Indian summer here in Sonoma County. So anyway, that's enough of me complaining about the heat. Soon enough, we'll be complaining about the cold and the rain. So I guess we better enjoy it. Anyway, I hope you have a great Sunday. I'm going to be, I'm holding two open houses today, which is interesting and always a challenge. But I do have, two listings that are open today. One is the listing on Andy Way. It's 3364 Andy Way. And that's up over, behind Lomita Heights in a little neighborhood called Brittany Meadow. And it's a four-bedroom, but really lives more as a three-bedroom and an office, which could, I think, easily be converted into a fourth bedroom. And officially shows up on the tax records as a four-bedroom, as it was intended by the builder. Just didn't ever get a closet put in. I think it was an option to go either way. Anyway, it's just under 2,000 square feet. It could use some updating. We've got people all the time that are looking for something that they could put a little bit of sweat equity into. This property is really in good condition. It just needs some updating. And what a great opportunity to get into this really good neighborhood, some great school districts, Santa Rosa High School, Hidden Valley Elementary School. And you can get in there now for $750,000 in a single level home. It has so much going for it, and it just needs a little bit of updating, and it's a great opportunity to, you can move right in, and then you can improve it as you go and build some equity right away out the gate. So it's a great opportunity for that. It's listed at 7:50. I will be there today from noon until 2 o'clock. So noon to two, and actually technically I'll probably leave it about 5 minutes to two, because I have to get over to another listing at 2 o'clock, which is about 5 minutes away. So I'm excited to announce my new listing. Actually, it's been listed for a while, but we are getting it ready. And I kind of teased about it a little bit last week, but this is a property, first time ever on the market. It was built in 1982 and designed by the current owner. First time, you know, that it's kind of tugging at her heartstrings a little bit to sell it, but it's time. It's almost three, it's like 29, almost 2,900 square feet, 3 bedroom, 3.5 bathrooms. So each bedroom has its own bathroom. It has a 3-car garage, and it's a really cool design. It's on the corner of, I don't know if I told you the address. It's 165 Massimo Circle, which is off of Brush Creek, right? As you get close to Highway 12 there. And you go up the hill, and it's right when it turns into like the circle into a one-way street. They were the second home to build on this little subdivision of Massimo Circle, and they chose this spot because it's a great location, and it has this view looking towards the hills. I can't quite figure it out. I think it's kind of northeast, maybe, views, but of the, you know, classic Sonoma County hills over there above Rinking Valley. And it's, you know, this wall of windows through both the living room and the family room / great room. And you can look out from the kitchen. And it has this 3-car garage that you can pull all the way through. Because it's on a corner, you come in on one street, on one side of the street, and then you can pull through this garage and come out the other side, and then make that loop instead of going all the way up around Massimo Circle. So it's a really cool design, and it's just a beautiful house, and I've spent some time there kind of helping getting it cleaned up and ready to go. And it's so comfortable, and it really grew on me quickly. It's just a great property, and I'm excited to be presenting it to the market. It's $1,250,000, and I'm going to be there today from 2 until 5 o'clock. So come and see me, and then, you know, after that, if you have an agent you're working with, it will be on Lockbox and available, and also on Broker Tour this Tuesday. So it'll also be open this Tuesday for the public for a little while. Anyway, come out and see me there. It's both of these places. They're both really great opportunities, and two different buyers for these two different houses. But I will be at both of them throughout the day. I'm going to have a busy day. Anyway, a little quick real estate update. I happened to last, I don't think, at least not last week, because we had Dave and Gue in here, and I didn't pull up the numbers. And so just briefly, what's going on in Sonoma County with active. It's kind of mid-month, so we're not looking at the sold. But I think it's also important to look at the what's active on the market and then what's in escrow, currently in escrow. And so active, there's 1,156 single-family homes. And, you know, this was at the last week of July, it was 1,157. Huh? So there's one less. But there were... there's also 508 in escrow. Some of those are in escrow, kind of going through the process, and some of those are pending and getting ready to close. But, you know, that's close to half of what's available. There's, you know, half as many in escrow. So that's a sign of an okay market. We're not squeezed too tight, and we don't have, I don't think, too much on the market yet. It's kind of weird. Some things are sitting really long, whereas other things are, you know, flying out the door. So it's an interesting market. And I notice, I think buyers are getting a lot more particular in what they're willing to accept in a property. And I think that happens when you have a little bit more inventory and not such a crazy market where, you know, you better take something or you're going to get nothing, you know. So in this case, there's plenty to look at. And I think buyers are taking their time, and they are looking, and they're being a little more particular about what they want. And I feel like I'm seeing more people, and I don't know, maybe some other realtors would disagree, but I feel like I see more people looking for updated properties. They want things done. And that's what I'm hearing, you know, a lot too from buyers is that, you know, we really don't feel like doing the work. We already did that on the house we just sold, you know, so we don't want to do it again. Whereas there's still, I think, some market out there, like with this property on Andy Way, where there are buyers that are looking to get in there and get some sweat equity, and maybe you do need to do a little bit of updating. Anyway, so I got completely sidetracked by that. So 1,156 single family homes currently active on the market. That's across the board, the full, you know, full price range. I think the high is there's something around, you know, close to $40 million, I think, right now on the market. Maybe 20, I forget. Anyway, 115 active condos in the market. And we're going to talk, I didn't go through the list, of kind of, and I will in a minute, but what we're going to talk about today. And one of those things is FHA, a little change in the rules that are going to make it a little bit easier for those condo buyers or, you know, FHA buyers that are looking at condos. And we'll talk about that after the break. Which we need to go to in a minute. Anyway, so there are 115 condos active on the market. 62 are in escrow. There are 43 active multifamily, which is 1-4. 94 mobile homes active on the market. I think we're seeing an upkick in the mobile home market as the pricing of single family homes goes so high, and that's a good option. It'll be interesting to see with the changes in the FHA with the condos if that changes the mobile market at all, because I think they've been picking up some condo buyers that can't buy a condo. But then again, I don't think they could do mobile either. So who knows? I'm just speculating, but I we'll see. Anyway, and then we're looking at lots. We've been keeping an eye on the lots, and we'll see. I have an appraiser coming in first week in October. We're going to talk about what's happening. He's been keeping a close eye on the fire lots and the rebuild homes. But there's 398 lots currently on the market, residential lots. There were 385 in the last week in July. So, you know, it hasn't changed much. There's some in escrow. There's 49 in escrow right now. So, you know, they're moving, but I think that's going to be a really tight market as people decide that they're just not going to rebuild and they're going to sell. So we'll see what happens with that. Anyway, that's all I have for what's happening on the market in the real estate market right now. And we're going to take a break and we come back. A couple of the things we're going to talk about today that I mentioned, the FHA new ruling, the septic ordinance that we talked about a couple of weeks ago actually passed. So I'm going to kind of tell you what that means to you if you live on a property in the affected area, which is not just Guerneville and Russian River area. It's the whole Russian River watershed. The Chenate property, there's some stuff going on with that that used to be the community hospital, and some other fun stuff. I forget what else it was. The Section 8. The Section 8 went to the city council, the Section 8 proposal, and I'll tell you what happened with that. So stay tuned. This is Allison Norman, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. We'll be right back after this break.
And I just want to wish everyone a happy polo shirt day. Apparently, Mike saw the memo. I don't think I ever seen you in a polo shirt. I got a couple new ones. I started wearing polo shirts for some reason that I don't quite understand.
Live and local, Steve Jackson on the Drive. Afternoons on KSRO.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, new construction to rebuilds, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams Realty fits the bill.
My philosophy is twofold. One, my clients come first. Two, I strive to stay ahead of the curve with technology training and local market news and information. I grew up in Marin County, then moved to Sonoma County and raised my four children. When I started my career in 2006, I was fortunate to be mentored by my late friend, Mike Kelly. I've successfully helped hundreds of families in the entire North Bay with their real estate needs. And with my Keller Williams network across the country, I can help with relocations as well.
And now, Allison continues the tradition and hosts the Mike Kelly Real Estate Hour every Sunday morning from 9 to 10.
Call me at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
Windsor hears FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
Hey,
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Good morning. We're back. Happy Sunday morning. I'm Allison Norman, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman, here every Sunday morning, joining you on the radio to talk about real estate and those things happening in the community affecting real estate. And I think everything in the community affects real estate, really. The desirability to live in Sonoma County is affected by all kinds of things, whether it's government things or rules and ordinances or just the real estate market in general, the pricing. There's all kinds of things that affect crime and the health of a community. So I want to talk about, so I mentioned right before we went to the break some of the things I wanted to cover today, and I'll try and squeeze them all in. So FHA is making financing easier, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what happened at the City Council with the Section 8 non-discrimination ordinance that they are trying to pass, and there's some very controversial subjects, so we'll touch on that a little bit without going too deep, because that could be a whole show. And then what's happening with the septic system, the on-site wastewater, new rules and regulations for the Russian River watershed area, which affects from Cloverdale down to I think Petaluma, Cotati, maybe, I don't know. Anyway, it's a big range. So we're going to chat about that. But first, FHA. So Federal Housing Administration has finally issued a long-awaited update on its condominium rules, and they announced Wednesday it will now be allowing individual unit approval and is taking other steps to loosen requirements to make these properties eligible for FHA financing. So this is really good news, because when you're buying a condo and you're using FHA financing, the first thing I always have to know is, are you using FHA financing if you're buying a condo? Because if it's a condo, not a PUD, and the distinction isn't something you as a consumer can look at a property and go, oh, that's a condo, oh, that's a PUD. There's no way to tell, really, by looking at that. The way we can tell is by looking at the tax records and the way that it was developed and the way it was designated when it was developed. It can't change. Well, I don't know. Maybe there's a process, but it's very hard. So if it was, when it was built, a condominium, it'll show up in the tax records as a condominium unit. If it is a PUD, which is planned unit development, that'll show me also on the tax records. So, and the difference is a PUD, you own pretty much, you own the structure and the land that it sits on. You own this whole little area, even if they're attached and there's no yard, you still own that whole building and the ground underneath you. A condominium, you own basically everything inside the walls. So that's the difference. And with FHA, there have been a long time very strict rules about being able to finance an FHA with FHA on a condo rather than a PUD. If it's PUD, we finance it just like a single family home. But if it's a condo, there's some really strict rules, and the entire complex, prior to this new ruling, the entire complex has to be approved through kind of a lengthy process with the FHA, and then it had to be, now they've changed this as well, it had to be updated every 2 years. So they've changed that now to every 3 years for the full site approval. But what's better is that they've changed it to where now they can do a spot approval. And there's some criteria that it has to meet for that. And this doesn't take effect until October 15th. So if you're currently looking, using FHA financing, you were looking at PUDs, and you go, oh, yay, now I can look at condos, not until October 15th. But this will go into effect. And then the lender, and there's some rules on which lenders can do it. They have to be approved to do this this individual site review, or have to have the ability to access that approval. So if there's no more than 10% of the units that are already FHA insured, they can do a site approval. Otherwise, they have to get a whole, they still have to get the whole complex approval. If there's fewer than 10 units, no more than two of the units can have FHA insurance or FHA financing. And they're also, as I mentioned, they're extending the certification deadline for approved condo projects from 2 years to 3 years. So now they don't have to redo this lengthy process every 2 years. Now it goes out to 3 years. And they're looking to allow more mixed use projects, and then some with mixed, commercial, to include those in. And really, I mean, there's maybe 10. I can't remember. I tried to pull it up, and it's interesting because a website where you go in and pull up approved condo complexes, it's down. The website's down. So maybe they're updating because of this change. It just went into effect on the 14th, I think. So anyway, you used to be able to go in, I'm sure you will at some point, be able to go in and see if a complex is approved. And there's hardly any. There's like maybe 10 in all of the county. And I think there are one or two in Sonoma County. I mean, I'm sorry, in the city of Santa Rosa. So this is huge that they can go in now and look at the individual unit and approve that based on what's happening in the whole complex, but it doesn't have to be a fully approved complex. So that's good. And so it said it will insure up to 50% of units in any given project. They're going to loosen the restrictions on owner occupancy rules, stating that eligible condo projects can now be 50% owner occupied. Which is good, because that was another, if there were too many non-owner occupied investor owned properties, they wouldn't approve a complex. And so now they're going to loosen that rule a little bit too. And what's good about all of this is that it's really going to open the door for those, that need this financing the most, which is somebody that, has very little money to put down. They have maybe not, less than perfect credit. They're a perfect candidate for FHA financing, and they're also the perfect candidate for a lower priced home. And in Sonoma County, a lower priced home is going to be a condo or a PUD. So that's that catch 22 that these people, somebody that qualifies for FHA financing and really needs FHA financing also needs the low price of a condo. And they can't get that kind of financing. So it really puts, like I said, it's a catch 22. So it's good to see that opening up. And I hope that it will make a difference. And because I think it's a long time coming and it's a good thing. Anyway, so stay tuned for more of that. We'll see how that kind of plays out in the coming months. And then, There's an interesting, we're going to go to the news in 2 minutes, so I don't want to get too deep into, let me talk about this real quick, and then we'll touch when we get back. We're going to talk about the Russian River, we're going to talk about extended time periods for tenant eviction notices, and what's happening with the current Section 8 that the city of Santa Rosa is proposing and looking over. But here's an interesting article. Homeowners with debt are willing to go into more debt to renovate their homes. So 2/3 of homeowners who have 10,000 or more unsecured debt say they're planning on doing renovations to their homes in the next 5 years, according to a survey from Freedom Debt Relief. So it's just, it's interesting. I think we are seeing, and I think that's a sign of a more kind of comfortable, people are more comfortable in the market with the real estate market and willing to put some money into the home. So I guess that's a good thing. As long as we don't get carried away and start pulling too much money out and using the home as an ATM machine again, which is what got us all into trouble, or a lot of us, me included, although I pulled money out to buy some investment properties at my house, and it all worked out. Anyway, we're going to go to the news. I'm Allison Norman. This is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. We'll be right back after the news. Have a great break.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Stocks into a tailspin last week. President Trump's threatened tariffs and China devaluing their currency getting the blame. Those tariffs delayed to just before the end of the year after U.S. businesses bombarded the White House with their worries. On ABC's This Week, White House Director of Trade and Manufacturing Policy Peter Navarro was asked, if China is paying for the tariffs, President Trump has said, why would businesses need a delay?
Just give us some time to December 15th. And by the way, we are taking all of our sourcing production facilities out of China, and we will continue to do that.
There were massive protests in Hong Kong today. Organizers are saying that 1.7 million people took to the streets to call for more democracy and freedom. The government saying dialogue will begin when everything calms down. In Delaware, two people dead after a small plane crashed this morning in a heavily wooded area near Newcastle Airport. Just prior to that crash, the pilot radioing that he was in trouble, that he wanted to return to the originating airport. Dave Packer, ABC News.
KSRO.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams fits the bill.
Need to move mom and dad? Need to sell the house to pay for their care? With extensive experience in senior relocation, estate liquidation, trust and probate, I can help ease the strain of relocating an aging parent or settling an estate after the loss of a loved one. I'm connected with senior move managers and realtors locally and across the country for a smooth transition when relocating to a care facility or out of the area.
Allison is involved in giving back in our community too.
I've adopted a care, serve, give business practice, allowing me to give back to the communities I serve and the causes most important to my clients. Through Care, Serve, Give, I donate a charity you select at the close of every escrow.
Call Allison at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Cooler temps continue today. Partly cloudy conditions at 79, 65 on the coast. A few clouds tonight. Low 55, 56 on the shores. Mostly sunny for Monday at 81, 65 in Bodega Bay. Tuesday at 84. Does get back into the 90s, though, by Wednesday. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Good morning. We're back. It's the Real Estate Hour. Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. Heard every Sunday morning here on KSRO, Sonoma County's FM News Talk, which is 103.5 FM, 94.5 FM. 1350 AM and good old KSRO.com streaming live. Listen anywhere in the world if you're on vacation and say, oh, I need to listen to KSRO. To go to KSRO.com because whatever is playing live is also streaming live at KSRO.com. So I think it's a great way. I use that form of listening often. When I'm, you know, because I don't have a radio at home that I can tune into. I don't know if people still do. Do you? I don't. No, Joe doesn't either. I don't. I have my computer and I have Alexa who plays whatever's on Pandora or Amazon Music or whatever. But and I think there is I haven't figured out the what are those called? Alexa skill where you can listen to the radio and. I think, does KSRO have that? I don't even know. Huh? Well, I'll find out next time. I'll let you know. anyway, you know, I mentioned before we went, before we went to break that homeowners with debt are willing to go into more debt to renovate their home. I just want to elaborate on that real quick because it says, despite those plans, approximately 60% of homeowners say they can't afford the necessary renovations to their home, but they're willing to go even more into debt to make it happen. So I think it's a combination of, you know, people that were kind of stuck in their homes during the downturn. And now, you know, things are looking good and maybe they're thinking of selling or maybe they're just thinking this is, you know, a good place to stay put. But they've got years of deferred maintenance because, you know, who knew what was going to happen with the real estate market or maybe they had some financial issues, you know, just caused them to not be able to do the updates that were needed. And now people are saying, you know, I really need to update this house, whether it's to sell it or to stay in it, but don't necessarily have the money to do it. But, you know, you gotta do it. Either you do it now or you do it when you sell the house by reducing your price. But really, like I said before, I think more people are looking at homes that are updated. So if you are thinking about selling your house, it may be a good idea to do that. I'm not saying, you know, go into debt. I'm just saying, I think that's kind of what people are doing. And it's interesting that, you know, that they're saying that 60% of homeowners are saying they can't afford to do it, but they're doing it anyway. And they are going into debt a little bit, to make that happen. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. It depends on your situation, and it depends on, you know, how much money you have into the house already. I think if you're, you know, probably a line of credit is a better way to go than, you know, putting it on a credit card or something like that. But again, it depends on your situation. I just thought it was an interesting little tidbit that people are, you know, putting money in updating their homes, even though they don't necessarily have the money to do it. But I think it's a good, you know, at least to update it. You don't want to go beyond your ability. So let's talk about, here's a quick extended time periods for tenant eviction notices are effective September 1st. And I think this is important whether you're a property owner that is a landlord or a tenant, to understand that this, so effective September 1st, 2019, weekends and court holidays will no longer count in calculating the time periods for the following tenant notices: notice to pay rent or quit, notice to perform, covenant, cure or quit, and the 5-day period in which a tenant has for filing an answer to an unlawful detainer summons. So now they don't, you don't count that weekend and holidays as a day. So under existing law, when a tenant fails to pay rent on time or commits a curable breach of the lease, a landlord may issue a 3-day notice to pay rent or quit, or notice to reform. Currently, it is a calendar days that are counted. With this new rule, it's going to not include weekends and court holidays. So that's important to know if you're a tenant and if you're a landlord. And I hopefully you have a good property manager that says, oh yeah, I knew that. And they will let you know. It says the law does not impact the notice periods for 30 or 60 day termination notices. Or notices based on uncurable breaches such as illegal use, unauthorized subletting, nuisance, or waste. So if you're not sure, you know, check in with your property manager or, you know, give me a call and I'll send you in the right direction to get the information you need to know. But little changes like that. And that's, I think that's why it's important to have a property manager. If you do have a rental property and, you know, not necessarily doing it yourself, because there's a lot of little details that you need to know about to stay within the law. And while we're on the subject of that, what's happening with Section 8? So we had, you know, Keith Becker has been on Dee Dee's Rental to talk about what's happening with that and why this ordinance is not a good idea. And then David Guen's assistant city manager and the I will stumble over his anyway, he was here, David Guen was here, City of Santa Rosa was here talking about that as well, and kind of the other side of this, and what it's called is an anti-discrimination ordinance. And you know, so when you say it that way, it's like, oh well, you know, that's not bad. And basically it's that anybody with a Section 8 cannot be discriminated against when they're applying for a rental property. And so what happens is these people, you know, wait and they finally get their Section 8, they've got their voucher, and now they're looking, you know, through whatever, Craigslist or a property manager or, you know, in the newspaper, and there's all these ads that say no Section 8, no Section 8, no Section 8. And I see where this is, you know, incredibly frustrating and discriminatory in a way, but I guess it is. I mean, you could argue that it is. At the same time, on the side of the landlord and the way that the property managers and you know, apartment organizations and you know, people that are on that side of it, you know, are not being cruel and unfeeling to these, you know, to people that need the help in the housing and have really done the process to get themselves qualified and onto the list. And now they have their voucher. But when you start putting, you know, when you say everybody has to take Section 8, it's not just saying you have to take this form of payment. It's saying that you have to opt in, and it's not even an opt-in now if this goes through. You have to now accept Section 8 vouchers. And in doing so, now you're inviting the government into your business, really, and saying, okay, but, you know, you have to take Section 8 vouchers, but you also have to have this, 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 and this done in order to comply with the Section 8 program. And so you're being forced to be involved in the government and work with a government organization. And it's just, you know, like I said, it's very controversial. And I feel very much for the people that have the Section 8 vouchers that really need them and need housing and have gotten this assistance, which I think is great. I think we need to find a way to make it work differently so that the homeowner, the property owner, that's the landlord, isn't being forced into a government mandated program with inspections and having to do updates to comply and all these things. So bottom line is what happened with this is they met they met middle of last week. I think it was the 13th. I think it was Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday at the City Hall meeting. And it was basically kick the can down the road until September 24th. And the argument was that, you know, we're really not ready for them to vote on this. There wasn't enough public outreach, and not really public outreach, but talking to the apartment associations and the property manager associations, getting their take on it and trying to come to something that's going to work to where, okay, if you're going to say we have to take Section 8, then let's put some things, some changes into this program so that we are not now being forced to do all of these, you know, things that are required with a Section 8 tenant. So, you know, there's definitely two very good sides to this argument. And I think, you know, the landlords and apartment organizations and property managers, I don't think, you know, we're being heartless people that don't care. It's that, you know, we're looking out for the homeowner, and that's kind of, you know, CAR, California Association of Realtors, and North Bay Association of Realtors, kind of that's what they're in place for, is to look out for homeowner rights. And this is a big issue that will affect homeowners, whether, you know, an investor that owns a home that they rent out is a landowner, a homeowner, and there are some rights in place and they should be respected. So anyway, that my opinion. I don't know. I'm really kind of torn on this issue. But I think because I do feel for the people that have the Section 8 vouchers, but I think there needs to be some changes in the proposal to make it work so that we're not forcing this on everybody. And I think it could have a big effect and, you know, a kick in the face and opening a whole can of worms and things that could go wrong with this. So anyway, that's kind of the update on that. And this, you know, the thing is, this isn't just a Santa Rosa thing. This is a, you know, California, it's a Senate bill 329, I'm sorry, is going through. I mean, it's the same thing going through the state. So this isn't just City of Santa Rosa. This is City of Santa Rosa, like David Guen said, is just kind of working on their own version to fall within what's happening in the state of California. So anyway, that we'll see what happens. We'll update you more as we get closer. So September 24th is the new date, and they will be working hard to do a lot of outreach within, you know, with land, you know, property owners, investors, apartment organizations, property managers, all of that, to kind of find a solution to where we can make this what, you know, what really is the idea in itself is good, but the program needs to be adapted if they're going to force it on everybody. Anyway, that's what I think. So we'll see what happens September 24th. And moving on, well, let's take a break. When we come back, some big news from the water regulations that we've been talking about, Russian River watershed, septic, kind of the things we've been worried about that were going to happen, the bill passed. So what does that mean to you? So stay tuned. We'll talk about that in the last 15 minutes of the show. I'll be right back. This is Allison Norman, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. See you in a minute.
Listen to KSRO on your smartphone or tablet on the TuneIn Radio app. Available for iPhones and Androids. Take KSRO with you on the go in the North Bay or anywhere in the country with the TuneIn Radio app. Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO. We're everywhere you are.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, new construction to rebuilds, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams Realty fits the bill.
My philosophy is twofold. One, my clients come first. Two, I strive to stay ahead of the curve with technology training and local market news and information. I grew up in Marin County, then moved to Sonoma County and raised my four children. When I started my career in 2006, I was fortunate to be mentored by my late friend, Mike Kelly. I've successfully helped hundreds of families in the entire North Bay with their real estate needs. And with my Keller Williams network across the country, I can help with relocations as well.
And now, Allison continues the tradition and hosts the Mike Kelly Real Estate Hour every Sunday morning from 9 to 10.
Call me at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
Traffic on the fives. Weather six times an hour. Sonoma County's morning news with Pat Kerrigan on FM News Talk, KSRO.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Good morning. We're back. Good morning. It's Allison Norman. Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman, heard every Sunday morning, and we're rounding up the coming up on the top of the hour. So let's wrap it up with what happened this week with the North Coast Water Quality Regulators. They signed off on a sweeping new plan that aims to curb the threat of human waste entering the Russian River. By phasing out failing and substandard septic systems. And this has been something that's been going on for years, trying to resolve this. And we've had Mike Trinan, our on-site wastewater consultant, or septic inspector in easier terms. But anyway, that's kind of what he does. And he's very much in the know on what's happening with all of this and has been on the show. And so we've been covering this for really have a few years. This has been going on. I think it's like 10 years when they initially proposed statewide regulations. But so this is Sonoma County, North Coast Water Quality Regulators, and it's specifically to really clean up and take care of what, you know, keeping the water clean in that is flowing into the Russian River. And so when they say, you know, a lot of people go, oh, it's, you know, it's Guerneville, it's a Russian River issue, it doesn't affect me. Well, you may be surprised that it does, you know, it could affect you in it, because this is the Russian River watershed, not just the Russian River. So it's the tributaries, the rivers and streams that go into, not just that go into the Russian River, that maybe go, you know, seep down into the groundwater that then goes into the Russian River. So it's a big deal, and it covers its people without sewer service, so anybody on a septic system, from Cloverdale to Cotati and from Santa Rosa to Jenner. So, I mean, it's a huge swath of area. And this bill passed that we've been kind of concerned. And we knew it was going to probably pass, but they were hoping that there was going to be some changes put into place that would kind of soften it a little bit. A few things that that we at North Bay Association of Realtors didn't like, along with, you know, some other advocates for, you know, making this a little bit less less of a burden. But it did pass. And so what does this mean to you? And, you know, I put something on our Facebook page. I was actually just looking for the post. But on the Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman, I posted when I talked about it a couple of weeks ago when it was going to be voted on. and they had a meeting that you could go to. And unfortunately, I didn't make the meeting. I had some appointments I couldn't cancel. So I did post on the Real Estate Hour page on Facebook, which is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman, a website that you can go to, and I'm looking for it right now, but it's it has, I think it was like 1,000 pages or more of addresses, either listed by address or by AP number, which is a assessor parcel number, where you can look and see if your address is affected. And I would imagine if you are on that list, you'll probably maybe have already gotten something in the mail saying, hey, this is the new ordinance, this is what's happening. Anyway, it's good to know, and it is on, and for some reason, because I can't talk and look at the same time, apparently I was looking for that website, but it's on there. Look at Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on Facebook. I'll repost it again when we're done, but I think it's an important website to go. It has a lot of good information about what exactly this is going to mean to you. Basically, once the rule kicks in, we're talking about it's going to take effect next year. And it's going to apply to an estimated 8,000 to 10,000 parcels without sewer service. In other words, they have an alternate form of wastewater, getting rid of their sewage, which is an on-site wastewater treatment system, aka septic system. And so that's a lot of people affected. And so once the rules kick in, landowners will have 15 years to comply. Well, that's a long time. That's good. But we're talking about, if you're now going to need an updated, a new system, you're, looking at probably $50,000 to $60,000 if it has to be now an upgraded, like a mound system or an engineered system. And a lot of those, especially out towards the river, is why this is such a big concern at river properties, not just Guerneville, Forestville, but even up in Healdsburg and Cloverdale, where there's also the Russian River. We usually tend to think, Guerneville, Forestville, but it also goes up Healdsburg up to Cloverdale. The actual river properties that are, or, they're on creeks that are what we call blue line, or what the government calls blue line creeks, which are direct tributaries that go into either the groundwater or into the Russian River. And a lot of those are on, lots that really can't, they were built a long time ago. The systems are older. People have been repairing and making, little changes here and there to make them more. And I think that, there's actually still some properties out there on cesspools. So it's going to be a major hit to some property owners. There was supposed to be, and I think part of this rule, there's supposed to be some funding available, some loans, but that's not in place yet. And that was one of the arguments, is that, let's not do this until we have that in place. But maybe, now that they're looking at, you've got 15 years to do it, hopefully they'll have something in place by the time somebody really needs to. But, and one of the problems is you need a repair now, it's going to get to where it's going to be very expensive for some property owners. So just, it is what it is. It went through, and I'll have Tom, I'm sorry, I'm going to have Mike Trinan or maybe somebody, there's a couple other people, Kyla Brooke was going to come on. She's a realtor out at works primarily out at the Russian River and is very involved. Her and I have been chatting about having her come on the radio to talk about this, kind of her take on it as a Russian River agent. So stay tuned for that. We'll have some more information. Basically, it's going to be mandatory inspections every 5 years. And that's starting next year. I don't know how long it'll take them to get, up and running with that. But if you're curious about it more, go to the Facebook page, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman, and there's some information on there, and you can look and see if your property is affected. And like I said, I would imagine they'll probably reach out to you and say, hey, guess what? And if so, and if you go to the Sonoma, Permit Sonoma, they changed it. It was the PRMD. They changed the name of it, but I think it's Permit Sonoma now. There is some information on there and immediate changes now on the permit process. So it, you know, it kicked in right away, and they've now, you know, they've changed the permit process. You can't just drop off a permit application. You have, there's a bigger process. So a lot of good information there as well at this Permit Sonoma page. So interesting times coming up. Anyway, I will be, we'll see what happens. And like I said, I'll get some more, some experts to come on and talk more about what they're anticipating and local things that are going on with that. And again, this is kind of a, this is a whole state issue, but this right now that, that just went into effect is specifically Sonoma County. And actually, I think it covers part of Mendocino County as well. But it is, it'll be interesting to see. So, and speaking of, were we speaking of wildlife? I was thinking about wildlife because I'm looking at this picture of the Russian River and wildlife and country properties. I heard an interesting story this morning, I don't know if we have, I guess we have time to cover it. Just kind of an interesting thing. The city of Alameda, I have a friend who lives in Alameda, which I guess, you know, I wasn't really aware is an island off of Oakland. That's only accessed by bridges and some underwater tunnels. They're having this major issue with, I don't know if it's a major, they're having a big issue with raccoons and gangs of raccoons, which are violent. And I know, you know, we have a lot of raccoons around here and they just, you know, they're aggressive, but they back down. And I guess there have been, you know, people and dogs that have been attacked by these raccoons. And she was telling a story of her neighbor who the raccoons dragged off the little dog and he's okay. Well, he's not okay, but he's going to live. And then somebody referenced a story, I think it was in the LA Times, that talked about these gangs of raccoons in Alameda, and attacking people and their dogs. And the problem, and the reason this kind of caught my attention is I also saw an article from the Audubon Canyon Ranch in Bouverie. We had the Living with Lions people out on the radio, I don't know, couple months ago, talking about the lion sightings and the fact that we live with lions and you know, the problem. And so they've lost, I think, three of the lions they've been keeping an eye on by permits issued by the county saying it's okay to go ahead and kill this animal because it's a threat to your livestock. Well, the reason they're having this problem on the island of Alameda is because these raccoons have no natural predators. Their natural predators are coyotes and mountain lions and owls. So I guess the owls can get to the island, but there are no coyotes and mountain lions on the island of Alameda. So these raccoons have become a real issue, and they can't relocate. It's illegal to relocate them. If they become a problem, they can deal with them. But it's a real issue, and that I think that's the reason why. And the reason why I bring this up is it is, you know, we do have mountain lions and we do have coyotes, and I think we, you know, we're in their land right now, and we need to respect that. And that's what can go wrong if you get rid of the natural predators, then somebody else will take over. Some other critter will become a problem, as is the case apparently in Alameda with the raccoons. Anyway, I'm going to wrap it up, and I'm going to be at an open house today. Two open houses. I'll be at 3364 Andy Way, $750,000. Four bedroom, two bath, single level home, almost 2,000 square feet. And then brand new listing, first time ever on the market, 165 Mossimo Circle, $1,250,000, beautiful house on over a quarter acre, three bedroom, three and a half bath. It's a great property. Come and see me today. Have a wonderful weekend. I'll see you next week. This is Allison Norman, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. Have a wonderful Sunday. Bye-bye.
The preceding was a paid presentation. News, traffic, weather, talk. Sonoma County's News Talk.